For our reading this morning, we're going to go right back to the beginning of Luke's Gospel. No, I've not got the seasons mixed up. We're not going to have the Christmas story. But not long after that comes a passage I'm going to share with you. And it's always confusing, I think for children particularly. There we have the Christmas story, and there's Jesus being born, and then sort of the next week is a little boy being presented in the temple. It's very confusing, isn't it? But here we have a passage from Luke's Gospel. And I'm reading this because a couple of months ago now, I was invited to go back to one of the churches I looked after in Bedford. And they chose a very challenging theme for a series of services about ageing and mortality. And for some reason, they asked me to go and share one of those Sundays. And I've thought about that a lot since I went there and wanted to share something of that theme with you today. So this is a story of Simeon and Anna. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what he said about them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart also." There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I love that little glimpse we have of the childhood of Jesus. It's so tempting, isn't it? I wonder, just wonder, what happened in those days. But our focus this morning is thinking about the thoughts of Simeon and Anna, these two elderly people who lived their lives devoutly, faithfully, and still waiting for a sign, waiting for hope, which they glimpse in this little boy brought to the temple. It's a tough theme, isn't it? This theme of ageing and mortality. Very much aware that after a hard week this week, recovery time takes a bit longer. Things that I might have taken in my stride 10 years ago, I need a little bit more time these days, and I suspect everybody feels the same. In my work, I think I have conversations every day with patients and families who've suddenly been confronted with a situation, their life changing, navigating emotions that are hard and unfamiliar, and sometimes there's a lot of fear around these feelings. And as we contemplate our own lives and think about the journey we've been on so far, maybe as well there are emotions that are unfamiliar and sometimes cause us to tremble in our boots a little. Wendy will remember that in our hospice chapel we have some very lovely pictures of a river, and they were painted by a volunteer at the hospice not long after I'd arrived, which is quite a long time ago now. And I wanted to share these pictures with you this morning and invite you to contemplate them with me as we think about our theme. So I'm going to try and get the first one on the screen. Sorry, you did show me a list and I'm struggling. There we are. Can everybody see that okay? I'm going to take you through the pictures first of all and what they meant to me, and then we'll explore them with a bit more thought. I asked this volunteer to put into an art form what I was hearing people describe when they came to the hospice as a patient. I used to be a teacher of geography, so rivers were a great passion of mine and still are. So let me explain the geography a little first of all, although you probably know it anyway. So a river. We've had lots of rain this year, haven't we, really? So the water table in hills and mountains is very, very full. And a new river is born when that water table in a hillside just reaches capacity and out the water spurts, it finds a way through and begins to tumble down the hillside, finding a way. Which way does it turn, following its course, until it finds a way through the down the hillside, through the rocks and through the terrain? So that's the first picture. What did I do? I did this. There we are. No? Oh, is that the next one? So the next one, the river lands. It lands down the hillsides into a valley and begins to flow. And it begins to make its way steadily and smoothly with a bit more, a little bit more sort of ease to it. There's dangers. There's the heron. And if you look very closely, you can see some little ducklings at the bottom looking a bit, perhaps a bit afraid that the heron's looking at them. So it's beautiful. And it's steady, but there's still a bit of danger lurking. Oh. As the river flows, it often hits a big rock, a challenge. It hits a sort of blockage, and it has to find a way round. It's still flowing quite steadily, but there's always a bit of a dam or a bridge or something that gets in the way. And then finally, here's the river as it reaches that sort of estuary stage. Now, we see that every day, don't we, with the River Severn, just reaching that flow, that steady flow of when it, before the river enters the sea. So those are my pictures, and that's the geography. What I hear people talk to me about, if I go back, will that take me to the, can I go back to the beginning, the first one again? Can I do that, Nicola? Yeah, thank you. I'll perhaps ask you to do them rather than me. I think more success. What I hear people talk to me about is that when they're first diagnosed with a life-limiting illness, it's like this. It's turmoil. It's trauma. It's where do I go? What do I ask? Who am I in all of this? Where do I find my way? And then as we go through to the next picture, it's that sense of, okay, so this is what I'm dealing with. What do I need to speak to the consultants about? What is my treatment looking like? How can I be? Inevitably, if we have the next picture along the way, there are challenges. There's, what do I do now? This is too scary for me. Where do I go? Who's going to help me? Who can I talk to? And then that last picture again. Maybe somebody once said to me, it's not the sunset, it's not my death, It's a sunrise. It's finding the help and support of the hospice and everyone around me to help me keep steady. So that's how I've used the pictures for many years, really. And I was fortunate this very week, to meet the volunteer who painted them. And I'd not seen him for about 16 years. And it was a real joy to see him and tell him how I'm using the pictures. So if we go back to the first one again, if that's okay, Nicola. I want us then to think about ourselves. Reflecting on Simeon, talking about this journey, of long journey he'd had of faith. What about us? Can you remember when you had your first thoughts about personal faith? Where were you? Who influenced you? What happened? Was yours a gradual growth of faith or a sudden experience of welcoming faith into the fabric of your life? Just think about it for a moment. I was brought up in a Methodist home. My father was a local preacher, and I come from a long line of Methodist local preachers. So I'd always known about faith. I'd always been to our little chapel, very much like this. There was a moment where that knowing became more certain. And I remember the people who influenced that. My old Sunday school teacher, Elsie Huckabee, who we all thought was very old-fashioned and, oh dear, well, let's get some modern ideas. But she was an Anna. Who were your people? Who led you down this journey? Was it like this? Was your faith a sudden moment of, oh my word, this is now who I am. This is now my faith. What does it mean? Where do I go with it? Because it's new territory when you embrace a journey of faith. And maybe there have been times recently where your faith has been challenged and suddenly there's this turmoil about what it means to live as a believer. How has faith sustained you through these times? And then if we go to the next picture, how did your story progress? What was it like? From a faith perspective, did you settle into a church? Did you struggle to find somewhere where you felt at home? How did you grow your faith? How did you begin to make this steady flow of believing? Were you challenged? Were you derailed? Did somebody try to pull you away onto the riverbank and say, no, this isn't for you? What are you doing? What was the response of people around you? Did they support you? Or did they question? And that heron that's looking quite longingly at those little ducklings. What were the fears along the way? What were the challenges? One of the questions that I regularly ask our patients is, what have you done before to find strength? How has faith been the thing that you've turned to when everything else lets you down? Let's go to the next picture. There are always challenges, aren't there? Sometimes they come and we expect them. Sometimes they just come out of the blue and knock us sideways. It feels as if for Simeon and for Anna probably as well, though we don't hear as much about her, the great challenge has been this longing, this waiting. When is it going to happen? Come on, Lord, I'm getting on. I need to see this before I, come to be with you in glory. Sadly, what I do hear quite often is people say that faith has let them down. Why bother? I believed in God all my life and this has happened. How can I believe now? Is that something we've said sometimes? I expect it is. And shockingly, I often hear people express their disappointment with the church to support them, and that's a big challenge. So what have been your rocks in the way? What have been your challenges over the years? What has made you question or doubt or reflect or reject and rethink? We only have to put on the news, don't we, to begin to have a few doubts that God is in the world. World situations that make us despair. Personal events that make us wonder. Moral, ethical dilemmas that we face and the world faces. Sometimes it feels as if God has abandoned the world and us and those we care about, if we're absolutely honest. So how have you navigated these challenges and found a way to let faith restore to you the hope and the peace that we need? Do you remember, maybe not just when you were little, maybe you still do it now, on the beach, you think, I'm going to stop this sea coming onto my sandcastle. And we build the dams, and we build them, and build them, and build them, and they look so strong, and then, oh, gone. A little wave comes, and it's gone. Water finds a way round, the sea finds a way around, the river finds a way around the rocks. Our faith enables us to find a way through the deepest, darkest challenges that we face, and we know that, but sometimes we lose sight of it. And then that last picture. Stable faith, mature beliefs, such as Simeon and Anna clearly held, sunrise, sunset. This picture is not about the end of the journey, but I think really does represent a place of peace and acceptance and strength of the faith that we have that's been shaped and pushed and pulled around through years of experience. A few weeks ago, wasn't it, the celebrations, for want of a better word, of D-Day. But I heard a voice, a man speaking, one of the remaining veterans. And his was a really deep reflection of the past, of his journey, alongside a deep fear that history would repeat itself as nations returned to an inward view. Populist political scene, and we see the chaos that abounds. And sometimes at this stage, when we're wondering what's ahead and what's gone before, people will talk about having a simple faith, which isn't simplistic. Somebody said to me recently, I haven't stayed in the cozy stable picture of a Christmas faith, but I've travelled a rocky road of troubles and snares that the hymn Amazing Grace speaks about. I rather like that. I haven't stayed in the cosy stable Christmas faith, but I've travelled the rocky road of troubles and snares. Here's mature faith, remaining inquisitive and challenged and wondering. And we have a brief glimpse of this man in Luke's gospel who knows this road of life's experience. He's met the rocks. He's done the moving around. He's wondering. And Simeon's story, it's so tempting again, isn't it? This little snapshot of a man, an elderly man, mature in years, but also a man of faith and experience, longing to see the promise of the Messiah fulfilled. Against all the prophecies of how this will happen, according to Jewish scriptures, Simeon sees Jesus and glimpses the one he's been longing to see. It's a remarkable story, but it's so important for Luke to get this down as he declares the peace and gives generations this wonderful piece of poetry, the Nunc Dimittis, this prayer of Simeon. Let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The story speaks to us as we engage with these thoughts of our life story. Maybe through these pictures, there are some at the back, a little sheet of paper for you to take some away so you can perhaps do your own reflecting on your own. But what is it that gives us peace at this stage of our lives? Is there something we are hoping for or need to do in order to find peace? My work in the hospice is in a secular setting. It's not an evangelical opportunity to bring people to faith before death, as some people have thought. But the conversations I have on a regular basis are about people searching for meaning, for peace, and for hope. What do you believe? Where do I find peace? And in an increasingly secular society where people say they have no religion, not attached to any faith group, my experience is that people are searching with spiritual questions. And it's not always about finding faith, but like Simeon, it's about longing for peace. I remember some years ago, we had an elderly male patient come to our day hospice. He was a joker. His jokes weren't always appropriate, it has to be said, but had to be just quietly spoken to about the PC-ness of some of the things he said. He was a very flippant man, apparently rejecting of any attempts I made to talk to him. Oh, no, 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 you stay away from me. So I did. And we'd smile and nod, but nothing happened, no engagement of conversation. And then he was admitted for end-of-life care in the hospice. And this man began to cry as soon as he got into his room and into his bed. He began to cry. And he couldn't be comforted. A couple of days later, I knocked on the door. He welcomed me in. And we began to talk. And his soul was searching around the events that he'd seen, things that he'd done during his war experience, and through his 85 years, he'd kept a very firm lid on all of this, never speaking about it. And over the days now that he was facing his death, it needed to be spoken about. And we found a way to help him settle with the past and find a peace for whatever lay ahead. And I tell that story because it feels as if we're all searching for that peace in different ways. And I wonder which of the pictures you're in today, in this moment. Is it the picture you want to be in, or would you prefer to be in a different one? Wherever we find ourselves, however we're meeting the passing of the years, whatever our hopes and fears may be, we could do well than to hold on to the words of John Wesley, who simply said, "Best of all, God is with us." Amen. Please take there's a sheet at the back of the church that looks like this with all the pictures.